He needs somebody to come and wipe his tears. Jehovah Roy, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that comes and guides me and directs me. He's the one that comes and takes out his heavenly handkerchief and wipes my tears. Jehovah Roy, I'm crying. Yeah, I need all of God. I need all of God, but specifically God, I need this. I'm crying, God. I need you to come in this situation. God, my finances are short. I need all of you, God, but in this situation, I need Jehovah Jireh, the God who's going to provide for me. Lord, I'm sick in my body. I need all of you, God, but in this situation, I need Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. David said, I need Jehovah Roy. I'm crying.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Thirsting for God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Thirsting for God.
You know, a junkie starts out with having this desire to get high. And then the junkie gets high. And then the next couple times that the junkie gets high, you know, it's pretty much in the mind, you know, that I need to get high. You know, I got this need to get high. And then, you know, eventually what happens? Your body starts to crave it. Your body starts to cry out for drugs. And it's the same way that if you will allow your soul just to be conditioned to thirst after God. Look what Psalm 84 and verse 2 said. Psalm 84 and verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of God. And look what happened. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Wow. Wow. My heart and my flesh. That if you will allow God to just fill your spirit, and you will allow God to just take control of your spirit and just seek him, thirst after him, eventually it works its way into your body, into your flesh. And then your flesh cries out. It makes you want to, you know, and I realize that different people have different ways of worshiping. That's why, you know, I don't beat anybody up if they don't stand up. You don't have to stand, because sometimes my best worshiping is sitting down. Sometimes that's my best worship. You know, just sitting there and meditating and listening to the Spirit and allowing God to work. But then it's me. Now, this is me. And other times, the Spirit will be moving so mightily down in my soul that I just got to stand up and raise my hand because my flesh is... See, anytime you stand up, it needs to be because the Spirit has worked in your soul and now it's gotten into your flesh. And the psalmist said here, I love this verse. Let me read it again. Let me go back and read it again. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of God. It started in his soul. My heart and my flesh, now they're crying out for God. See, the place of thirst is in your soul. If you are thirsting for God in your soul, and your soul is crying out, it's not going to be long before your body starts to cry out too. And you're going to bow down, you're going to lay flat on your face, you're going to stand up and raise your hand, you might even get up here and do a little dance or whatever. You know, it's going to get into your flesh somewhere, you know, get into your feet. Your feet got dancing and you can't stop. You just got to keep moving. Why? Not because you're trying to put on a show, not because you're trying to impress somebody, but because it's down in my soul. It's down in my soul. Anytime there's a reaction in your body, it should spring because it's flowing out of your soul. And David said, I'm thirsting after God. Like the deer pants after a water brook, so my soul pants after thee, O God. What is the pursuit of his thirst? The object of his pursuit. The object of David's pursuit is God. You know, this is interesting here in Psalm 42 in verse 1. As the heart pants, and the Hebrew word there is the word all, which means that the heart or the deer is panting over. The pant and the desire of the deer is downward. The psalmist said, my soul, L, not all down, but my soul, L, pants upward. My desire is upward. My thirst is upward. You see, there's nothing down. There's nothing down here that can satisfy this thirst that I got. There's nothing down here. Y'all heard a song by the Tower of Power, and it said, all the things that used to fix me, they don't fix me like the groove. And I'm going to tell you, all the things that used to fix me when I was out in the world, they don't fix me like Jesus. They don't fix me like Jesus. All the things that used to fix me, they don't fix me like the Lord. There's nothing down here that can fix me like the Lord fixes me. Oh, yeah, I like nice things. I like to enjoy life. I like to fellowship and have a good time. I love all that. But there's nothing down here that can fix me like God. And so as the deer pants over the water, my soul pants upward. I pant upward to God. And I cry out for God. The object of his thirst, the object of his pursuit is God. You know what? You can live a long time without food, but you can't live too long, only a couple days, without water. And isn't it interesting that the psalmist makes the analogy that my soul was panting after God like the deer is panting after water? Why? Because you realize that your life would cease to exist without water. My brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that unless God is in your life, your spiritual life is dead. Unless you are thirsting after God on a daily basis, I don't care who you are, deacon, trustee, usher, choir member, church member, pew sitter, I don't care who you are, that if you are not thirsting and drinking at the well of God, your spiritual life is dead. Your spiritual life is dead. Because it takes this living water to sustain us and to nurture us. It takes this living water to keep us going. And you know, if you'll put up that one slide where it talks about the God of the psalmist and how that, you know, whatever situation that you're in, that's the God that you need to show up. You know, if I'm in a situation, look at this right here. I put this little chart together. What aspect of God's character did the psalmist need? He said that as the heart pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after God. Now, did he want all of God? Sure. Sure he wanted all of God. But there were certain aspects of God that he needed. What aspect of God's character did the psalmist need? Well, in verse 3, he said that he was crying. He needs somebody to come and wipe his tears. Jehovah Roy, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that comes and guides me and directs me. He's the one that comes and takes out his heavenly handkerchief and wipes my tears. Jehovah Roy, I'm crying. Yeah, I need all of God. I need all of God, but specifically God, I need this. I'm crying, God. I need you to come in this situation. God, my finances are short. I need all of you, God. But in this situation, I need Jehovah Jireh. the God who's going to provide for me. Lord, I'm sick in my body. I need all of you, God. But in this situation, I need Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. David said, I need Jehovah Roy. I'm crying. The second thing, two times he talked about being cast down. My soul is cast down. I'm beat up. I'm beat down. What do I need? I need Jehovah Nissi. I need the Lord, my banner. I need the God that's going to lift me up. And then thirdly, he talked about his enemies. He needed someone to deliver him from his enemies. What did he need? He needed Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, to come and fight his battle. David, see, sometimes we need to realize that we have access to all the resources of God. And when we get in situations that we can cry out and we can say, God, this is what I need. Yeah, what do the people down in the Gulf need right now? They need a God who can stand out and speak peace to that storm. They need a God who can stand up and put a hedge of protection around. And even though they might be praying to all of God and for all of God to work, God, if you just do this right here, God, if you would just be Jehovah Nissi, if you would just be Jehovah Jireh in this situation, Lord, that's what I need right now. And I'm not sure where you're at, but you might be calling on God for you to give you what you need right now. What do you need? What is your most pressing need right now? What is your most pressing desire? You can call on God. The pursuit of thirst. Look at the time of thirst. The time of thirst, look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. The time of thirst. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Lord, I need to see you move, God. I need to see you do something. But when am I thirsting? My God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Early. What does it mean when he says early will I seek thee? I mean, I think he means early on two perspectives. On one perspective, early in the day. Now, once again, I know that some of y'all have your devotions and quiet time later on in the day. I understand that, if that's what you do. But I'm going to seek him early. I need him early. I need him right from the start of the day. As soon as the day starts, that's when I need God. I don't need God to show up at lunchtime. I don't know how many knuckleheads I'm going to run into on my way to work and half a day of work. I don't need to show up at the end of the day. I need him to show up early. So I like the poem that I read during my devotion time. I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty. But the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't help me. He said, you didn't seek. I tried to come into his presence. I tried all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early. He learned something now. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Oh, I need him early. I need him early. I need him to show up early. I'm hungering and I'm thirsting for God early. I was reading an article about this captain during the first Gulf conflict, and he was wandering in the desert for 48 hours, hiding from the enemy. And as he was hiding, he was moving from place to place, trying to stay safe and trying to stay out of the radar of the enemy. And when they found him, it was the Allied forces that found him, and they had some reporters with him. And they came up and they began to interview him.
And the whole time that they were interviewing him, he was just drinking water, drinking water, drinking water. And somebody said to him, "Man, you sure are thirsty." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "It's funny." He said, "I was so busy running that I forgot that I was thirsty." How many of God's people? You so busy running? You so busy doing? You so busy out there that you forgot to be thirsty? You forgot to be thirsty for God. You so busy. You got to get up and you got to run and you got to run all day long. And you forgot that you're thirsty. Don't forget that you're thirsty. The psalmist said, "Early will I seek him." Job, the Bible says about Job that Job got up early in the morning and made sacrifice for his children. The Bible says about Jesus, a long time before day, Jesus got up and spent time with the Father. Early. Well, not only early as far as the day is concerned, but early even as far as trouble was concerned. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And it's talking about a trouble here. And actually, many people believe that the language in the psalm, and I'm not going to read it, but many people believe that the language in this psalm actually refers to a hurricane. It actually refers to a hurricane. But look what it says in verse 5 about this river. God is in the middle of the river. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And when? That right early. You know, don't wait till you get halfway through your problem to call God in on it. You know, don't you know, one thing about, yeah, I was watching the news this morning, and they were telling the people down in the Gulf Coast, especially New Orleans, the guy said, "This is mandatory evacuation." Now, come to find out that mandatory evacuation don't mean mandatory. But you know what it meant? It meant that if you decide to stay, you're not going to have any police help. You probably won't have any electricity. We're not obligated to protect your house. You're probably going to have water, sewage, and everything contaminated. And, you know, so when we say mandatory, and the one guy said, and if you decide to stay, everybody that decides to stay, make sure you got one thing. And they said, "What's that?" "An axe." "No, not water. Water would be good. An axe." And you know why? He said, "Because you're going to have to chop a hole through your roof to stand up there when the water starts coming out." Now, do you need God to show up? Do you need this warning to show up when the hurricane is there? I'm so glad that we have technology that can predict the hurricane and can predict the course that it's going to travel days before it gets there. Then that way you can make plans and preparation. The psalmist said, "I'm not going to wait till the hurricanes of my life get upon me and I'm in the middle." I'm not going to wait till the hurricanes of my life get on me and are blowing down my house and flooding my house, and I got 9 feet of water in my house. I'm not going to wait till then. The psalmist said, "Early will I seek him." As soon as I get the warning that is coming, I'm going to be seeking God. Early will I seek him. And if you got this thirst for God, this thirst has to be early in the midst of any situation. Let me move on because I want to finish up today. The effort of the pursuit. And we won't look at this. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and 13. "And you shall find me when you search for me with your whole heart." This can't be a half-hearted pursuit. If you're thirsting for God, it can't be half-hearted. You got to do it with all your heart. Seek him with all your heart. And what is the produce? What is the produce of thirsting for God? First of all, there's satisfaction for your soul. That God will satisfy you like nothing else can satisfy you. Psalm 107 and verse 9. Psalm 107 and verse 9. "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." If you are thirsting for God, you'll be satisfied. Whatever it is that's in your heart, in your soul, that you're thirsting for, you'll be satisfied. The second thing, if you're thirsting for God, oh, hallelujah, you'll be filled with righteousness. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? Because they shall be filled. They shall be filled. If you're thirsting for God, you will be filled with righteousness. You're not going to be out here doing a bunch of things that you shouldn't be doing. You're not going to be out here living a life that you shouldn't be living. But if you are seeking God, your life will be filled with righteousness. And then I'm going to close with this right here. And I this is powerful. And I'm going to read both of these passages. Turn to the Gospel of John as we close today. Turn to the Gospel of John. What is the produce of thirsting for God? Jesus talked to the woman at the well. She went to get a drink of water. And Jesus told her, oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 13. John chapter 4 and verse 13. Jesus said unto her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. My, my, my. My, my, my. Remember that car that you bought 8 years ago? You had to buy another one. Remember them clothes that you bought 10 years ago? Some of y'all still got them. I'm sure I get many amens if I say how many of us bought something in the last couple months. You know, we probably got a little something from the place, you know. So we had to, you know, the clothes that you bought, they didn't satisfy you. They didn't fix you. The car that you bought, it's gone now. You know, how many cars have you done had over your lifetime? All right. The food that you ate last week, it might still be with you here, but but it's gone. You know? Jesus said, whatever you do in this life, you're going to thirst again. You're going to thirst again. He said in verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Look at John chapter 7, John 7, verses 37 through 39. John 7, verses 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his heart or belly shall flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? That if you're thirsting for God, other people will come and drink from your well. That you will be a life, you will be a life-giving spring for other people. If you will thirst for God and drink at his well, you will be refreshment to others. Other people will come and draw from the well. And draw from the wells of your life. You'll be a spring just pouring out. And isn't that what God really wants? God wants to feed, quench our thirst. But you know the thing about it? Is that the thirst is continual. And as we take in, we just give back out to other people. And that's what life is all about. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of preparing the soul of your heart to receive the seed of the Word of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Thirsting for God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Thirsting for God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Thirsting for God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.